Good morning. The streaming of this service is covered by a copyright license, CCLI number 14636. Welcome to worship at Northbourne Uniting Church on Sunday, the 27th of July, 2025, the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. Our call to worship. O God, you summon the day to dawn, you teach the morning to waken the earth.
Great is your name, great is your love.
Your love and mercy shall last forever, fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise.
Great is your name, great is your love. This land is God's land for which the Wurundjeri people have cared since time immemorial. We acknowledge their elders past and present, and we commit ourselves to the covenant between the Uniting Church and the Uniting Aboriginal and Islander Christian Congress. Our first hymn today is Together in Song 215, You Servants of God. Please be seated. Let us bring our prayers to God. Let us pray. God of life, your light shines on us. Your joy fills us. Your door opens to us. Your word feeds us. O God of life, eternity cannot hold you. Nor can our little words catch the magnificence of your kindness. Yet here in this space, and in the space of our small hearts, you come close to heal us. O God of life, grant us your forgiveness for our careless thoughts, for our thoughtless deeds, for our empty speech and the words with which we wound others. O God of life, grant us your forgiveness for our deceitful desires, for our hateful actions, for our wastefulness, and for all we leave untended. O loving Christ, murdered by hate but risen in the morning, melt the sin from our souls as the sun melts the frost from the grass. Be with us in all that we do. Inform all that we see. Redeem all that we are. Amen. Hear the good news. When we were buried with Christ in baptism, we were also raised with him through faith in the power of God. By faith we have been made clean and set free to live in gratitude and love with zeal. As we have received Christ Jesus, let us continue to live our lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and abounding in thanksgiving, as together we say, Thanks be to God. Amen. And now we listen for God's word.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 to 19. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him, when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions, puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. A reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us,
for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
This is the Lord's Prayer by Lois Rock and Alison Jay. Today we are going to reflect on the Lord's Prayer. These are not just words to repeat. They are words that shape how we live. Through each part of the prayer, we are reminded of who God is, what we need, and how we are called to live with others. So let us walk through the prayer slowly and listen for what the Spirit is saying to us today. The Lord's Prayer was taught by Jesus. He is the one we call the Son of God. He was born in a simple manger, but his life changed the world. Jesus healed people, told stories, and showed us what God is like. Jesus wanted us to experience the peace of God in our daily lives. That is why the prayer he taught is full of simple and everyday words. This prayer connects heaven and earth, and it helps us live with trust, hope, and love. When we say, Our Father in heaven, we are not just saying where God is. We are calling on the one who is above all and yet close to us like a parent. God is holy, powerful, and full of love. And we are invited to speak with this God, like children who are loved and safe. Hallowed be your name means, God, let your name be honored. We want our lives to show who God is, not only with words, but with how we live, how we treat others, and how we trust God each day. This prayer reminds us to live in a way that gives glory to God's name. When we say, "Your kingdom come," we are inviting Jesus the Messiah to come into every part of our lives. We are saying, "Lord, build your throne here, in my heart, in my work, in my home." Even when life feels uncertain, we believe God is still working. This is not a quiet wish. It is bold prayer, asking God to reign over everything. When we say, "Your will be done on earth as in heaven," we are asking God to rule in every corner of our lives, in our families, our relationships, and our decisions. We trust that God's will is better than ours. Even in time of fear or doubt, we pray with faith, "Let your good purpose be done in me." When we ask for daily bread, we are asking God to meet our needs today, not just the food or money, but also strength, wisdom, and courage. Maybe we need peace in a conflict or boldness before a job interview. God cares about it all. This prayer reminds us to bring everything to God, even the small things. And we all need forgiveness. And Jesus, through the cross, took away the sin of the world. When we say, "Forgive us," we are returning to that grace. We are not rejected. We are welcomed. This prayer brings us back to God's mercy. God's forgiveness is never meant to stop with us. Just as we have received grace, we are called to give grace. Forgiving others is not always easy, but it is part of living in God's kingdom. We are people of the cross. We live with open hearts and open hands. Some may ask, how can we ask God to lead our lives? Isn't God too holy to be bolder with our weakness? But this prayer is not our idea. Jesus told us to pray this way. He understands that life can be hard, and he knows that we sometimes feel lost or afraid. So he invites us to ask for help, to trust that God will guide us, and to believe that we are not alone. There is real evil in the world. We see it in violence, greed, injustice, and fear. But God is stronger. When we say, deliver us, we are trusting that God can rescue, restore, and renew. We do not fight alone. God leads us, save us. This final line is declaration, all power belongs to God, all glory belongs to God. God's kingdom is not only coming, it is already here, breaking into our world. So we end this prayer with trust and praise. Amen means let it be to, let it be so, and we say it with faith. Do you sometimes find it hard to pray? Remember, we already have the most perfect prayer. Begin with the Lord's Prayer, and as you pray, bring your thanks and your needs into each line. Let this prayer guide your heart and help you draw close to God. Our next hymn is Together in Song 745, Seek First the Kingdom of God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The prayer that we call the Lord's is the most important and familiar prayer of the Christian faith. We use it here every week. Many Christians pray it every day, and from the earliest centuries, the entire church through time and space has prayed the version in the Gospel according to Matthew. We Protestants add a doxology, or words of praise, to the end of that biblical prayer. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. If you've ever said the Lord's Prayer in a Catholic church, you will undoubtedly have found yourself still praying when the rest of the congregation has fallen silent. Most of us grew up with the traditional version of this prayer that came from the 1662 Book of Common Prayer, with trespasses rather than sins. There were regional versions. My Scottish mother still prays, "Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors." She says that that is because there was no law of trespass in Scotland. I say it is because the worst thing a Scot can imagine is owing or being owed money. Since 1980, Uniting Churches have used a modern version translated by the International English Language Liturgical Consultation. I was 7 when we started using that version. I remember learning it in Sunday school, and I am reasonably sure there were sweets involved. The ELLC version is a better translation of the original Greek than the traditional version, as well as being easier to say for those of us not brought up with these and thous. The Lord's Prayer became our shared sacrament when I was studying at the World Council of Churches International Ecumenical Institute at Bosse in Switzerland. We came from so many different traditions that sadly we could not share the Eucharist together. And I think that remains the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church's greatest scandal. But we could say the Lord's Prayer together, and we did, each softly in our first language, so the different languages blended into communal praise and petition. It's strange how imperative the petitions of this prayer are. They're actually demands. The verbs are in the Greek imperative mood, which is used for orders and commands. We do not pray, "Please may your name be hallowed. Please may your kingdom come. Please may you forgive our sins." We pray, "Be hallowed, come, give, forgive, do not." It's a remarkable way to address the creator of the cosmos. The prayer does begin by addressing God as Father, rather than King or Judge or Lord, but it was first prayed in a culture in which fathers were literally the rulers of their families and households, and not people of whom demands could be made. Yet it's being taught by the one who tells us that God is like a father who shamelessly runs to greet an erring son when he returns from spending all his wealth in dissolute living. This father does not stand on his dignity. So we begin the prayer by affirming God's transcendence in heaven and God's closeness, Father. Just as Jesus calls God by the intimate name of Abba, Father, so we can use that name too. Paul says, "When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." We are God's beloved children, and as God's children, we can cry out to him. Next come two your statements in Luke's version and three your statements in Matthew's version. Because we have both versions, we know that "your will be done on earth as in heaven" is parallelism, It's like those verses in the Psalms where the psalmist says the same thing in two different forms. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. What we beloved children demand in this first part of the prayer is that God's holy realm of love, justice, and peace will be present among us. Hallowed be your name simply means, may you, God, be recognized as the Holy One. And God's holiness is a holiness of justice and love. The second part of the prayer is made up of petitions to God to meet our basic and deepest needs, the necessities of life, forgiveness for what we do wrong, protection from the times that challenge our faith, and strength to endure them. I want to focus on the first of those today. The word commonly translated daily about our bread is only used twice in the entire Bible, and it's used in the Lord's Prayer in the Gospels according to Matthew and Luke. Daily is one possible translation, daily bread, but it could also be necessary bread or tomorrow's bread. In this petition, we are praying collectively that everyone in the world will have the necessary bread that every human needs each day for their entire lives. We're praying not that God will give those of us in North Baldwin croissants and ciabatta, but that God will give the starving around the world emergency rations and unhoused people in Australia nutritious meals in ways that respect their dignity. It's been hard to think about daily necessary bread this week while seeing the images of skeletal children starving in Gaza. I won't show those pictures to you because they're simply too graphic for church. Charities have been warning the world of this impending human-created disaster for months. Now Palestinians are daily dying of hunger. More than 1,000 Palestinians have been killed trying to access the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, whose name is bitterly ironic. In the words of The Guardian, GHF is a startup organization with no experience of distributing food in complex conflict zones that employs US mercenaries at its four sites, which opened in May. They replaced 400 non-militarized aid points run under a UN system that Israel claimed had to be shut down because Hamas was diverting aid from it. No evidence for this has been provided. The reason Gazans need access to food aid is not just because Israel is preventing more food from entering Gaza. It's also because up to 70% of tree crops and more than 70% of Gaza's greenhouses have been damaged by bombs, according to satellite imagery. As well, the Israeli newspaper Haaretz reports that since the attacks on Gaza began, dozens of Gazans have been shot dead while in the water, most of them while fishing. Israel has warned Gazans that entering the sea is forbidden, and anyone who violates this order is putting their life at immediate risk. So Israel is making it impossible for Gazans to feed themselves. And so 19-year-old Saba Nahed Al-Najjar, who had received a scholarship to study medicine in Algeria before the attacks on Gaza started, tells the BBC that she now weighs 35 kilos. Noura Hijazi, a widowed 29-year-old who stays in a tent in the west of Gaza City with her two children, has told the BBC that her toddler daughter has been motionless for 4 days, no longer moving or talking. And the horror stories are legion. In the Lord's Prayer, we demand that God's future comes into our present. We do not ask that we go to God's kingdom. We pray that God's kingdom comes to us. We can't pray this with integrity if we don't care about the world's most vulnerable, most persecuted, and most deprived. It seems impossible that our prayers can make a difference in the world, but Jesus offers us a parable. The translation isn't helpful. It reads, suppose one of you has a friend and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him. But what Jesus is saying is more along the lines of, could you imagine having a friend who would not help you offer hospitality to a traveller? And the answer to that in a culture in which friendship and hospitality are sacred obligations would be, of course not. That would never happen. But Jesus says that even were such a thing to happen, that a friend ignored their sacred obligations, they will finally get out of bed and supply bread if their friend keeps asking. We're not to think that God is like the friend in bed, someone we need to persistently petition to be heard. The meaning of this parable is more like that of the second mini parable in today's reading that ends, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In the same way, if an inhospitable person in bed will finally get up and give his friend whatever he needs, how much more will our loving Father give us what we need when we ask for it? We must always remember that our actions may be how God answers the prayers of those asking for their necessary bread. As Saint Teresa of Avila wrote in the 16th century, Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. Amen. I didn't get to talk about the petition, forgive us our sins, but fortunately I found a hymn that talks about that for us. So together in song 635, forgive our sins as we forgive. Be seated. We've been praying for Israelis and Palestinians for decades, and in a moment we'll have some minutes of silence for you to pray your own prayers for everyone in the Holy Land and for the land itself. But I encourage us today to remember particularly our Christian siblings, those who worship at the last Catholic church in Gaza, Holy Family Church in Gaza City, which was bombed this week, killing three and injuring others, and those who live in Tabor, a Christian village in the West Bank, now under attack by illegal Israeli settlers. There has been a Christian community in the Holy Land since the time of Jesus, through every empire that has occupied that land, from the Roman Empire to the British Empire. And the Christian community has never come so close to being destroyed as it is now. So in silence, I invite you to pray. Let us pray with the Christians of Gaza. O God of creation, creator of all that is, we seek your shelter as the bombs continue to fall on the people of Gaza, now for over 640 days. We ask for your guidance in working and dreaming of a more just, loving, and inclusive world, knowing that these ways of war, of destruction and starvation are not your own, nor the necessary way of this world. We implore you for courage and strength to continue fighting for justice and the liberation of all, and to continue resisting oppression and hatred wherever it may find us. We search for your wisdom as we dismantle systems of injustice and oppression, remembering our own good and interconnectedness, even when it is not readily seen nor felt. And finally, we plead for your help in opening and activating our eyes and ears, hearts, minds, mouths, and hands, so that we may see our brothers, sisters, and siblings struggling and hear their cries, that we may feel their pain and agony, that we may understand it as wrong and know it unnecessary, and that together we be moved so that oppression and justice, injustice are no more. Amen. And together we pray in the words our Saviour gave his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Your offering for the work of this congregation and the wider church will now be received. Thank you. Please stand. Let us pray. Lord, you are the giver of every good gift. Accept these offerings, we pray, that through them we may do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with you, our God and our Father. Amen. And our final hymn today is together in song 623, Lord Christ, true peace of all above. Just a couple of thank yous. The first is to Heather Turner for the gorgeous flowers today that are in memory of her parents, Jean and Lindsay. Very beautiful. And thank you to Christine, who is playing the organ for us today. This is Bruce's last week on holiday, and Charles is off celebrating his birthday. So we're very lucky to have had Christine. Thank you.
It's there. Yeah. Let us receive God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.